Blog Talk Radio.
Say that across the board.
For me,
I want that across the board.
And I think I need to get back to space.
Amongst friends, conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
Good evening, and thank you tonight for joining us for Amongst Friends Radio Talk Show. We're happy to have you joining us tonight, where our topic will be, I have a healthy sex drive, but I'm single. Tonight, I'll be sharing as your host, Heather Owens, and I'm so glad to have with me tonight, Patrice Reynolds.
Hey, people.
My favorite, Joe Snyder.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
And I hope all the way from Texas we have Miss Deirdre Robertson on the line with us. Okay, Deirdre's not with us yet, but she'll be joining us along with PJ Morgan. As I said,
hey, everybody.
Oh, PJ is here. Woohoo. Hi, PJ. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Heather. How's everybody?
Happy to hear your voice. I'm good. So tonight,
wonderful.
As I stated, we're talking about, I have a healthy sex drive, but I'm single. Please join us at www.blogtalkradio.com with your comments in our chat room there, or you can call in to share your thoughts at 760-683-2662. Again, that number is 760-683-2662. And if you're on your computer, you can join us with your comments, your questions in the chat room, but we'd love to hear from you live on the radio tonight because we want this to be a conversation for the grown and the sexy. So, guys, I was thinking about the topic today and talking to Patrice, so I'm just going to put this out there. If you're religious and you want to do a Bible battle, disconnect now. Because we're not going to be Bible thumping on here about being single and fornication. Now, we may talk about it, but we're not going to have any fights about it. So, guys, I threw out some topics today. One of the things that I thought that we look at first is, what is a healthy sex drive? And how does one determine that for themselves? So, PJ, we're going to start with you tonight because you are the married after being single. So what would you determine as a healthy sex drive?
For male or female?
I want you to give us what you think for both.
Okay. I don't have in-depth experience on the female sex drive, but I know a healthy male sex drive is thinking about sex maybe at least once an hour. Point of when you see a woman that looks like somebody who may be a potential of somebody who you might want to have sex with, you think about what you could do, how you would do it, how many times you would do it, what position you would do it in. To me, that's healthy. And that's probably average. A lot of guys won't say, but I think that's about average. Somebody who thinks about it, and wants it every single day.
Okay. Well, I'll back you up on that definitely. Some of the stuff that I was reading suggested and stated that men do think about sex at least once a day. So,
I think once an hour. No, maybe not in depth, but you might see somebody or see something on TV and go, ooh, I would mash that up good.
Wow.
You know, and sometimes it's a fleeting thought. Sometimes it's not discussed. You know, it's just in your head and, you know, you get rid of it and you go about your day. I think
okay.
A woman with a healthy sex drive may be a little different. I think that a woman's sex drive has a little more direction and a little more purpose than a man's. And I'm just telling you what I think. I'm not telling you what I know. I believe that a woman has sexual thoughts about the person that she loves or the person who she wants to be with or the person that she wants to spend time with. But I do think there are times when women just have the animalistic thing, you know, where they just look at a man and say, mm-hmm, he can get it. Maybe women don't think about sex every day, but maybe they think about it every other day. To me, that is what was seen somewhat normal to me.
Okay. And we're so glad to have Deirdre on the line with us. Deirdre, what do you think is a healthy sex drive for a woman and for a man?
A healthy drive would be whenever they think about it. Whenever, I mean, if they can get it every day, then by golly, get it every day. And that's both for men and for women. I think a lot of people think that it's just a man that has sexual thoughts and would like to, you know, get it in all the time, but that's not the case. I think that's the case for women as well. Me
yes.
speaking, I can't speak for anybody else, but I know for me, you know, I want it on a regular. I'd like it in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. That's all I have to say about that.
Well, Deirdre, I'm glad you had that commentator there in the background because we're going to ask her, Patrice. So, you know, Patrice, do you feel like you have a healthy sex drive?
Happy birthday, Deirdre. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Do I have a healthy? Okay, when you say that to me, I think of two things. Healthy as in a healthy way of life, or healthy as in extreme, like a lot. When people say healthy, it means a bountiful thing. And then you could be talking about just a healthy life, having sex, whatever. So bountiful, I would have to say no. I'm not, you know, engaging tremendously in it. And as far as am I healthy, yeah. No doctor visits. No STDs, nothing going on over here. So
that works. Well, that's good. I mean, I think you brought up a great point, Patrice, because one of the things that I think people don't think about is how sex and the act of sex, as we touched on a couple of weeks ago, does benefit you health-wise and how it builds you not only physically but mentally and emotionally. So that is definitely a great thing. So as we move into this conversation, because I really want it to be a conversation, I want to look at what we see as trends or what we may feel like are some of the things that are going on with this. But I do want to touch on the responsibilities and the consequences of single sex and what the difficulty and the struggle may be for someone who's single. How do they make that decision about having sex and choosing the partner or the partners to have sex with? And so we need to look at it, and I think dissect it from all points of view. So, Joe, how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for asking.
I know. I love you. So, Joey, okay, so what are you thinking as far as the responsibilities and the consequences? Well, let's just start with the responsibilities of single sex.
The responsibility. That's a very tough question to ask. I mean, at least for me being a single male with a very healthy sex drive and trying to, one, you know, be responsible in that, you know, no sex outside of marriage, but also taking on the whole responsibility of making sure that it's not, you know, that I'm not just having casual encounters, making sure that I'm healthy in that, you know, I'm getting tested regularly, that I'm using protection if I am engaging in sex, and that sort of thing. So I think as a single male, a single female, that it's important that you kind of have an understanding, like if you have religious morals, like myself, understanding, you know, what it means to be abstinent or what it means to participate in celibacy and how to do that in a healthy way where you're not just doing it to, you know, you're not just doing it to the point where you're like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do wrong, or I don't want to be, you know, feel ashamed, but you're doing it because this is a decision that you've made for, you know, whatever reason, whether it's religious or you just want to wait until you find the committed person. And then the other responsibility is that if you are going to engage in sexual activity, that one, that most of all, that you're being safe for you and the person that you're being safe with, you're being, you know, that you're having sex with, you're being honest about whether or not this is going to be committed sex or casual sex, and you know, you're putting everything out on the table, and you're not really, you know, you're not, how you say, you're not, you know, just lying just to get what you want, but you're actually, you know, being honest. I think we need to be more honest about our intentions, especially if we are single and we want to have, you know, more than one partner, because our sex drive is very healthy. And finally, that if you're going to do it, you know, this is probably going to get me in trouble with a lot of people, but if you're going to do it, I say you might as well enjoy it. Don't be having no boring, uninteresting, casual encounters, and you're not enjoying it.
And I'm glad, Joey, you touched on a lot of things that I think we're going to deal with. If you're listening to us and you have a comment or a question on this topic, please call in. You can reach us at 760-683-2662. Again, that number is 760-683-2662. You don't have to give your name or identity. Or you can send us something via chat on blogtalkradio.com/amongstfriends. One of the things that I wanted to look at, though, Joey, that you touched on was whether or not we are making the decision. I love this guy named Jeff. Whether or not we're making the decision not to have sex as single people only because of religious reasons, religious morals, our spiritual morals, or is it because, or would we, would you as a single person have sex if it was not against your religious morals and not be married?
You asking me
directly?
I'm asking
you.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the dilemma that I'm faced with every day, Heather, because I actually really enjoy sex. I do have religious morals and standards. I love sex, and I understand the gift, the power, the ability, and the wonderfulness about this amazing, amazing gift called sex. And I enjoy it very much, but I also feel like that on the other side of the spectrum is just like, I don't want to, you know, because I do have religious morals and standards, I don't want to portray that, you know, it's okay for me as a single person who, you know, that has this religious, these religious beliefs and spiritual beliefs, that sex outside of marriage is wrong. And I'm like, okay, but I can still do these things. So, you know, and I'm free by the blood or whatever you want to say. And, you know, but it's a constant struggle. I don't know how to really put it in the words, because on one end I'm like, I want to do what's right, but on the other end I just really love sex. And I did not ask for this very active, very healthy sex drive. And not only that it's wonderful every time I go into this act called sex. And so, do I just do it because of my religious morals? At one point, yes, it was just because of my religious and spiritual morals that I did not engage in sex. And I was, you know, I practiced abstinence for 7 years before, you know, falling off the wagon. And then, you know, I actually participated in celibacy, which was more of a spiritual decision rather than just abstinence. It was more of a spiritual decision and something I wanted to do. It was not an obligation. It wasn't because I didn't want to go to hell. It's because this is what I wanted to do. And I did that for 3 years, and I was cold turkey with everything. No masturbation, no pornography, no sex, no oral sex. I did that for 3 years, and then once again I had fell off the wagon. And so now I'm just in a place where I want to make the decision for not just for my spiritual reasons, but for me as well, because I want to do what's right, but also I'm understanding that it's I don't walk away with a lot of happiness when I do have sex outside of marriage, if that makes sense.
Well, absolutely, it does. I think, you know, I can definitely see where you're coming from with that, and I definitely agree with you. So before everybody starts emailing and texting me, let me just say this. I already know what you're going to say. I am not a virgin. I have a child, and I never had a husband. That being said, I pretty much agree with what you're saying, that I think for me, and this is just for me, that there would be no guilt or any negative vibe for me to have sex and not be married if it was not against what I believed religiously or spiritually, with the commandments of Christ, basically.
Right.
Other than that, in a relationship or just if you met someone and you all both felt the flavor and you wanted to do it, I would definitely feel okay with that, and I wouldn't down someone for that. But I do think that we have to look at the person who is single, and is it a sex drive that's causing them to have multiple partners and be addicted to sex, or are there other issues that are driving them, for the girl who is thirsty for attention, for the guy who needs that esteem booster? How does a person determine where they are with that?
Mm.
How can they tell, is this a healthy sex drive? As Deirdre said, she wants to do it morning and a night. But how do you know as a person, how can you determine whether or not this is just you like sex, you enjoy the pleasures of the sexual experience, versus there's a default or a dysfunct somewhere else, and sex is the substitute or the feeding for that emptiness?
I guess for me, like as we talked about sex drive, I think sex drive is the want or the desire for sex, but also the healthy desire for it. So that, you know, you want sex, you want it, and it's nothing. It's not, you're not motivated. Your drive is not, you know, based on a deep-rooted issue. Like, I want sex because this is the only way to get a man's attention, or this is a way for me to get back at my overly religious mother, you know, or I want sex because that's the only way to bring me out of my depression. If it's a sex drive, it's just deeply, it's motivated by your desire to have sex and your ability to have sex. And anything deeper, if your motivation is anything deeper than that, it'll come out in your behaviors. So while, let's just say, somebody with a normal, healthy sex drive, you know, their behaviors is going to be whether they are in a relationship or whether they have, you know, multiple partners. It's just motivated by my desire to want sex and to experience the pleasure. While someone who is motivated in other ways, they're going to be having, you know, they might have unprotected sex with many different partners, or they may have lots of sex with older men that represent their father, or, you know, that is, you know, they might have, you know, it's a lot of, their behaviors will be different if it's something deeper than just a healthy sex drive that's motivating them towards sex.
Okay, so Patrice, tell me something. Coming from religious family or Christian background, how has your mind changed towards the judgment of people? Because I know for me anyway, the way we were brought up or how we were brought up and what was around us, it was the person who made the decision to have sex and have a lot of it or multiple partners was a whore or was a hoe, was not the girl you wanted to hang around with. However, I know as I've become an adult and I look at the situation, in some instances that very well may be true, but at the other token, I believe that women can make that choice just like men, to have sex as much and as often as they want to and with whom. So how have your views adjusted versus what you were raised believing and what you believe now as a single woman?
Well, Jesus, I turned 27. That's all that happened. You know, once I got to a certain age, my body started actually doing other things. And, yeah, I was brought up to not, you know, taught by my family per se, but by the church that you were going to hell if you practiced or you were involved in sinful acts sexually or whatever. Of course, when I grew up and got a relationship with Christ and learned that he was not intimidated by my sin, whether I was trying to do it or not, it was already paid for. It didn't give me the go-ahead, but it helped me deal with what was going on with me. When you're equipped with knowledge and wisdom about what's going on, then you can honestly, correctly deal with, you know, your decision-making. So as the drive and the desire of sex, you know, started to basically go crazy, you know, with me and my views and decision-making as far as, you know, my religious views were still there, I began to feel more liberal and free to deal with them. Now, if I did slip and have sex, which I have had sex before in my life, you know, I would condemn myself, you know, to a point to where I would just feel miserable and horrible about it. But as I became more mature in my spirituality, the condemnation stopped, and I began to really focus and be sober to deal with what I was going through. So as far as what I think now about single women and sex or whatever, it's very natural. It's very healthy and it's very natural to want to have sex. And then you have to deal with the whole estrogen when you get to a certain age going to, you know, shooting out the top of the roof, which causes you to want to have more sex against your own spiritual will, if I can say that. I know that doesn't, you know, really exist, but to honestly have to deal with this in your body, which is disconnected from your spirit, is crazy. It's like, you know, you want to do it's like you don't want to do something, but your body is clearly saying, "Oh, we doing this.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. You need to go sit down somewhere because we doing it." It's just that powerful. So as far as single women and wanting, having that strong desire to have sex, very, very natural, very, you know, understandable to have, but it is important to know the benefits behind it, the good and the bad, the good benefits and the bad benefits to having it. You know, I'm going to stop right there because I'm sure you want to hit on some other points.
Well, no, I think Joe really covered for me, and I'm sure for our guests, at least I hope so, the points that would talk about being responsible, and that is to, you know, the only thing that I would say in being responsible about, you know, having single, what we're calling tonight single sex, is that you have to be, definitely we promote and endorse with everything safe sex, and that is with a condom for the protection of diseases and unwanted pregnancies. And there are plenty of methods out there. You can go online and find them, and at your local store, read up on it. But also being responsible about how you deal with others, I think, is a really big thing that we need to think about, and the impact that you have on someone's life when you have a sexual encounter with them. And I don't think that we, as humans or as people, every day consider what a sexual experience or exchange means to us. And, you know, people get into the whole thing about, you know, you've exchanged spirits and soul ties and things of that nature. However, there is some level of emotional, and I know Deirdre's going to disagree with me, emotional thing that happens for a woman when she has sex with a man, and if that is cut off and dead and desensitized, then that creates a whole nother issue. But I think we need to be good stewards of the people that we engage with, and protect their hearts and protect their vulnerability, which is a part of the sexual relationship. So I think, you know, unless someone wants to, you know, move further into the responsibilities, I think that pretty much covers it. However, I think with the responsibilities comes the consequences of having single sex. And I think, PJ, some time ago we had a show and you kind of touched on that about, you know, the expectations of he or she calling the next day or whether or not, you know, we've dated a couple of times and now we've had sex. Does that mean we're in a relationship? Is it committed? So, PJ, how do you view the consequences of having single sex, sex outside of a committed relationship?
Well, I believe several things. One, I believe that there is a oneness created between two people whenever you have a sexual relationship. I think that sex is more emotional for a female than it is a male, especially in a younger year. I think in older years, I think men become more emotionally connected with sex than women. But usually for, and I can give you an example of that in a minute. Usually for a woman, if she gives of herself, if she gives you herself sexually, that to her represents a change for the most part. It represents a change or a plateau or this relationship is now at another level. Whether it's said, whether it's unsaid, a lot of times it's assumed. A lot of times it's assumed, which is why, you know, really, not that young people shouldn't, but I believe sex is for adults too. I believe people might, you know, you might crucify me for this one, but I think it's for adults because a lot of times people want things, but they don't always want what comes with it. I think that women use sex to get love, and I think that men use love to get sex. And I think both parties get trapped somewhere in a trade. I think that if a man has sex enough with a woman, he will love her. Maybe not in the way that the woman wants to be loved, but if a man is having constant sex, even if a girl is a side chick and you're constantly having sex with her, you don't want somebody else to do it, even if you're not willing to make the commitment. And I think a lot of times, and that's an unsaid rule. And then on the other hand, a lot of times, a woman believes, hey, if I give you my body and if I give you myself, this means that we're going somewhere or we're doing something different. It's not just casual anymore. So now that we've done this thing, I now have an expectation, and my expectations of you change. Before when we didn't have sex, it didn't matter if you called, okay, fine. If you didn't, fine. But now, you know, we're having sex now. Where were you yesterday? I didn't hear from you all day. Well, I was busy. Well, you're not busy when you want to come over here and screw. So I think that there is a change between two people when sex happens. And I think a lot of times those changes, I think the changes are different for men and women. And I think that men assume that whatever happens to them happens to women. And I think that women assume whatever happens to them happens to the man. And I think both parties are disappointed because there's not enough communication about what should happen. Because a lot of people talk about laying down, but a lot of people don't talk about what happens when we get up.
Absolutely. And I definitely agree with what PJ is saying. I think that, you know, one of the big things for me has always been the what happens when we get up. Somebody in the chat room says you go home. But that's not what everybody wants to do.
Everybody don't feel that way,
and people have all sorts of emotion, and you know, everybody has experienced that time. At least I think everybody has experienced when you're in the middle of having sex, and you say something that you totally didn't intend to say, like, "Oh, I love you," "Oh, I need you," and that definitely was not the mutual feeling of both parties.
Ow.
So it, you know, it does. You do need to have some conversation about what next, what happened next, and pretty much, you know, what does sex do to change or to enhance the relationship? Or does it mean anything to the relationship? Was it just that sex? We hope that you'll call in and join us. Please, we want to hear your comments, your questions, any feedback you may have about tonight's topic on a healthy sex drive, but I'm single, at 760-683-2662. Again, you can call us at 760-683-2662, or you can get in our chat room on blogtalkradio.com/amongstfriends. Now, Deirdre, someone was in the chat room kind of agreeing with you that all women don't have any emotional tie because they had sex. Some women just want to get their rocks off. Now, I do not believe that, but can you expound on that for us since you believe that, Deirdre?
Of course I can. I don't have a problem doing so. Here's the thing. When, because I come from a fairly religious family as well, and of course, you know, I went through the same thing of people saying, you know, girls who have a lot of sex and do oral sex, they just fast and all this kind of stuff. And I would tend to agree with them because that's what I was raised to believe, or that's what I was conditioned to believe. But then when I started looking at my body and, you know, experimenting with different things, and I saw that I liked it, it was like, okay, I ain't trying to be in a relationship with you. I just want to feel this feeling again because it feels good. And it's, I mean, it was almost, it's sort of like when you taste my mom, well, my grandmother makes some good greens. Well, I want to have some good greens every time she cooks it. You know, so if the sex is good, then guess what? I'm going to want to have sex a lot. Not because I want this man to be my husband and I want us to cuddle and I'm doing this so he can be my man. No, I want to have an orgasm. Plain and simple. That's it.
So nothing more, nothing less, just an orgasm.
Just an orgasm. Just give me one, two, or three, or four, or five, or six. Let's go on for hours. Let's explore new things. Let's take me to another level.
Okay, but when that man takes you to another level, you don't feel like I need to hold on to that. Just like grandma made good greens and you keep going back and you want some more grandma's greens, you don't go down the street and be like, oh, I just like greens. I'm going to get some greens from your house. I'm going to get some greens from your house. No, you want grandma's greens. So if it's Bobby and he hits the spot and he takes you there, you're going to want Bobby.
Okay, guess what? Yes, I do want Bobby. And now look here. Bobby, I'm coming to get your greens, period. That's it. And then when you no longer if Tim is offering them and I'm still wanting some good greens, guess what? Hello, Tim. Let's get some greens. And if Tim ain't wanting to give me no greens, if Stan is, then hey, Stan, how much your greens? Or when can I get them?
Okay. I got you. I don't believe you, but I understand you.
You don't have to believe me, Heather, because I know me. Now, you say you, and I say me.
Hey, can I say this, though? Honestly, understanding both sides, although I do understand what Heather is saying as far as that connection and that emotional thing once sex comes into the picture or whatever, you're going to want the same green. That was a good analogy. But I've got to say, I mean, although I have not engaged in getting different people's greens, I understand him saying about just wanting that experience or feeling, because when you are at a point to where commitment is not showing up, he is just passing your house by, you know, just maybe for whatever reason, you know, but for him not to show up for 10 years, Lord Jesus, and here you are sitting in your house with this feeling of just wanting to orgasm, okay? You tired of doing it yourself. You tired of the little rabbit joint because, you know, you got to keep putting batteries in him, and you want the real main dingle thing. You want that heavy going. So over time, you know, you just want that experience. So I understand what Deidre is saying, Lord have mercy. When commitment does not knock at your door, does not show up, you still have other emotional feelings to deal with. So I had to say that because I understand both of what y'all are saying.
And it makes perfect sense.
Go ahead, Joe.
No, I was going to say, it makes perfect sense. Like, I am totally for what Deidre is saying. Like, I think the principle of Deidre's belief is very important for not just men, but women also, that you do have an understanding of your body. Like, you do understand what you like and what you don't like, but you know what you want when you go into the bedroom, and because that's going to help you. If you can communicate your own needs, it's going to help you understand your partner's needs as well, or put you in a direction to understand your partner's needs. The problem is, or more so the issue is when people who can, because I have a hard time believing that women can have casual sex, but it's something that they can do. I've been learning over these last 2 to 3 years that women can have casual sexual encounters. But what I've learned is that whether or not you have the ability to do this doesn't mean that you should. And I think that's the issue for me, men and women. I don't believe in double standards. I don't believe that a man can just have casual sex and a woman can't. I don't believe in that. I think for me, because the way I view women and I kind of not idolize them, but I put them on like a I just hold them as different, as their bodies are sacred. That's why I have an issue when a woman is saying I have casual sex. Like, I'm for her freedom, I'm for her sexual liberation, I'm for her wanting all the orgasms that she can stand. I think every woman should be able to do that. I just truly believe that it's a disservice to your women's magical ability to have 15, 20 orgasms and they don't experience it. You know, I just feel like that is just a disservice. It does my heart. It just caused me a lot of pain when just don't, you know, they in their 30s and they never had, their 30s, their 40s, and they've never had an orgasm. I just really feel bad for them. And I wish I could fix it for them all, but I can't. But on the other end, okay, is just that, you know, it's just one of those where you really want to be careful. You're free to do something, doesn't mean you should. And I think that's where my, not that I don't believe women can have casual sex, because now I'm starting to see, just like men have healthy sex drives, women have healthy sex drives. Men like to be adventurous and no commitment. Women like to be adventurous and no commitment. But because you have the freedom to do it, it just doesn't mean that you should. And that's where I stand now. At first, I was just like, nah, women can't do that. It's just emotions tied and everything and blah, blah, blah. But it has definitely changed for me, especially in trying to understand this gift called sex. And this gift called sex, I want in my fitness as well. So just discovering that journey and seeing that women face the same kind of issues men have, being single, not finding the commitment that Patrice talked about, and wanting the orgasmic pleasure and explosion that Deidre was talking about.
Well, and I do, I think we may be getting a caller in on the line. I'm just waiting for confirmation. So you guys, please do call in. We're at 760-683-2662. Again, that number is 760-683-2662. And I think, you know, one of the things that I do have to say, because I'm always on Deidre about this, and, you know, I do believe that, yes, you can make that decision. I don't think we were wired or made to do it that way, but I'm not saying that it's impossible. You can do it and you can disassociate yourself. We all box in or compartmentalize feelings, emotions, activities, behaviors as we see fit. And at some point, it rehashes itself in some kind of way. So, I love this chat room. If you're not in it, you ought to get in it. Because someone just said I'm not compartmentalized and I just like sex. So call us. Get on the line and then tell us what you're thinking about it. We have a caller. I believe his name is Jeff. And Jeff,
yes.
Are you on the line?
Yes. Hello, everybody. Can you hear me?
Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I'm going to say this first and foremost for the Heather, for every Heather and Patrice out there. I know about.
Okay, I can't.
You know what?
For every Heather and for every Patrice, I know 7 Deidres. So I don't know how, and I'm hoping that Heather and Patrice have more friends like Deidre. Hoping that they do. Because if Deidre's the only one in your circle that's like the way she is, maybe Deidre needs to teach a class or something, or... Y'all need to get her video if she's got a video, because
tell me what you mean she needs to teach us that we should be able to just have sex and it's okay and not be emotionally involved with it.
Just get over the feeling, just get it, you know, get it done and get it over with.
This is the thing I'm trying to get y'all to understand. She really doesn't have to teach it because there's more. Females out there like her. They're out. They're the ones that unfortunately, you know, they're living their lives, doing everything they need to do, and it's all good. And they're in good standing with everything that they believe in. Now, like I said, they're not in the circle of you two, but they're out there. And those are the dudes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Those are the girls who what?
Those are the girls that, you know, might be hitting up the clubs. Those are the chicks who might be the liveliest chick at the picnic or at the cookout. Those are the chicks that, you know, she's always in the hot spot. She's always looking good. She's always got dudes all around, all the time.
But okay. Can I say this real quick?
Jeff, thank you, though, for his comments. Jeff, we appreciate you for calling us amongst friends. Go ahead, Trace.
Jeff, this is for you, though. Honestly, I do understand what Deidre is talking about. Don't get me wrong. I'm not judging or condemning how, you know, what she, that life that she was a part of or whatever, or how she viewed it to be at that time at all, because I completely understand. I wish to goodness that I could honestly do that. I wish I could just pick up the phone and say, hey, brother man, you know, let's do this. And let me go on back home so I can go to work in the morning. I wish that I could do it, but because I know that if I engage myself in that with different people, I know for a fact that I'll be desensitized. And if marriage, which I do have a desire for later on, comes and knocks on my door when commitment, that Bama finally show up, then I'll be able to give him everything. But if spread it around and go ahead and satisfy my every whim, I won't be able to give him everything. My mind will be spread all across time. Or I remember when he used to do that. Or I remember when he did that. Or no, he was the one that did that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying that I don't understand, you know, what she's saying. I completely understand. And I wish to goodness was possible, but you know, because commitment is not showing up when I want it to, you know. But I have to say that I have to look at. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What I'm saying is, well, hold up. First of all, now mind y'all, I'm trying to hold out. I'm trying to be in the circle of the Patrices and the Heathers, trying to say.
Hold on. Let's stop. Heather's not in any circle. That is. I'll call her Jeff's declaration because
right.
Heather's not in any circle. I'm outside the box, and Deidre, I'm down with having sex and having plenty of it and good sex. I thought we were just talking about the emotionless or emotional, whether a woman is one of the consequences being that she's going to have some kind of emotional tie to that man. That's not only...
But here's the thing. How come I just can't have emotional ties to sex, period? But emotionally, I just want to have good sex, period. It ain't got nothing to do with the man. I just want to have sex, period. And
okay, but,
to make a comment on what Patrice saying about you can't do it because you're going to become desensitized. No, when you get married, you'll be able to bring those tricks to the bedroom and show him all the things that you've been doing so that you can please your man.
It's not realistic.
But do you
have
to...
What you say earlier?
No, I'm just going to ask. I was going to say, does that mean you have to be sexually promiscuous in order to be experienced?
No. PJ?
Well, let me say this, and I have my daughter in the car, so I'll say it this way, and she'll be out in a few minutes. But once I gave my wife my greens and I was licensed to give her greens, right after she had my greens, I wished in my head and heart that nobody else ever had my greens. Because my experience with greens as being licensed to have them was so very different than just giving them away to casual people who were hungry at the time. So just,
I got you.
Just consider that. You know, I don't want to put a damper in anybody's single fun, but I promise you, on my wedding night, I wished I was a virgin. I really did.
Okay, PJ,
really
thank
did.
You for that comment. We're gonna follow up on that, PJ, because that's pretty much where I come from with it. But we have a caller on the line. We have an anonymous caller, and we're so glad that you joined us on Amongst Friends. How are you tonight, caller?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Wonderful.
Excellent.
Go ahead with your comment.
Okay, I guess what I wanted to say was I grew up in a pretty religious home, Catholic and then Baptist. And so I grew up with the all, you were supposed to wait until you get married and, you know, sex is not necessarily bad, but you're not supposed to be doing it unless you're married, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So... I had sex a couple of times, and I didn't really like it. And I thought to myself, oh, it must be because I'm not supposed to be doing this anyway. So I didn't have sex for a long time. So then I saw somebody, and I was like, oh, my God, this is years later. We had sex, and, oh, my God, sex was the best thing since sliced bread.
Wow.
I love sex. Yes. So... I fell for this guy because as far as I was concerned, he was the best thing since sliced bread because the sex was the best thing since sliced bread. I'm like, oh, my God, it has to be because I'm in love because sex is not supposed to be enjoyed unless you're in love and getting married and all that good stuff. Well, I met another guy, and I had sex with him, and the sex was bomb.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, my God, I don't really like you.
Wow.
I don't ever really want to see you again. But the
wow.
sex is good. Yeah.
Wow.
So then I met another guy.
Ew.
And the sex was bomb. So I don't understand where any of you or anyone, not any of you, just any person, gets off thinking that you have to be emotionally tied to a person to enjoy sex. Because as far as I'm concerned, sex is like eating. Everybody does it. Because you have to. It's a part of life.
Please say that again. Please say that again.
Just
be quiet.
I think
the fact that I think it's like
be
eating.
Quiet.
I think sex is like eating. Everybody and everything, every living thing has sex.
So it's a part of life. It's something that is natural, and we should treat it as such.
Of course. Now, don't get me wrong. I am right now, and I am in a committed relationship. And I'm telling you right now, I could go out and have sex tomorrow, and it would not bother me at all. I would come home, cook him dinner, and have sex with him, too.
Dang.
My thing is, I don't go out and have sex with somebody else because it would hurt him. That is the thing that keeps me in this monogamous relationship, the fact that it would hurt him, not because, oh, my God, I'm in love. I can't have sex with anybody else. That's just some
right,
bullcrap as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, so I get what you're saying, caller, I really appreciate your comments. Thank you for calling in. And if you have comments and you want to share with us, please call in at 760-683-2662. Again, that's 760-683-2662. And I think one of the things that I really want to say, because I think it's kind of getting cloudy and we want to keep it clear of what we're saying. Definitely with the caller, I agree 100% that if you're in a relationship and you choose not to go outside and have sex and whether or not there's some kind of emotional attachment, for me, the stance that I take when I make that statement is this, and that is, much like what PJ said, once he got married, he wished he had been a virgin. But for me personally, the stance is, I want to enjoy sex, and I want it to be the best experience possible. And the only way that I believe that can happen is if there is a connection, an emotional connection, a mental connection that provides for stimulation across multiple levels. And so why make that haphazard? Or when you're that good and you're going to give it that good, why would you just give that to someone off a wing and a prayer? Now, I'm not saying that it's never happened, but I'm saying the results of it and the benefits of it are greater and better, and it comes with less consequences when there is that emotional, that commitment, those types of things involved. That's the only stance I'm taking on it. We all absolutely are capable of eating anything. Everybody eats. Everybody can have sex. But just like some folks don't eat sushi, there's nothing wrong with it. Go ahead, eat it. Put it in your mouth. Everybody does it. It's just food.
Oh, oh my.
But we don't do it. You know, everybody doesn't eat other ethnicities' food. Everybody doesn't eat Chinese food, but it's just food. Put it in your mouth. It's just rice. So we can't just say, oh, eat it, or it's just like eating, or it's just as common practice, it's just sex. Because it's not that cavalier, it's not that casual. Because if it was, then you'd do it without a condom, you wouldn't worry about getting pregnant. You'd just do it. Everybody would be free with it and just do it. And that's not acceptable behavior.
Wow, freedom.
I think the other thing that I want to present, too, is that, yes, I do understand that you can have sex without emotions. You can have sex without commitment. You can have, because it is, there is a natural thing. It's a natural thing about sex. But not everyone has, you know, she said every living thing, everything on earth has sex, but not every thing on earth has sex for pleasure. Some creatures have sex simply to procreate. Others have sex out of instinct. But there are very few animals on this earth that have sex for pleasure. And I think, you know, as far as the hello, what did you say?
Go ahead,
okay, as far as the human animal though, us as human beings, I believe not only that sex is not just physical, but there's an emotional aspect, there's a mental aspect, and there's a spiritual aspect. And I think if you're just having sex on the physical level, that you are missing out on the emotional and the spiritual and the mental. And I think people who, for example, people who have sex, who have emotionless sex, are people who, you know, they just have sex just for the physical experience. Am I judging you for that? No. I'm just saying you, when you sensitize yourself to just have that type of sex, you are unable to reach a deeper level. And I think even with our people that have casual sex, if that's your decision to have the casual emotional sex for the rest of your life, that's your decision. But I'm just saying you're missing out on something more. It is something more powerful. It's something greater out there. And I think that is why human sexuality is the greatest gift in all of sexuality, because we are able to experience it on more than just the physical level. And I think that's why a lot of people, even in marriages, they have good physical sex, but they're unable to make a connection. And that's why they go out and they find someone else to have that emotional or that spiritual connection with outside of their marriage, because all they're thinking about, all they have trained themselves was around the physical act. And animals, lions and tigers and bears, you know, they have just physical sex, and, you know, it's casual and and there's procreation. But you got to think about, we are above that. We have more intelligence. We have more. There's more to drive us, and that emotional. There should be an emotional connection. That's the part that I think we miss in this argument of whether or not men and women, or women can't have casual encounters without emotions. If we scratch that and we say, okay, both men and women can have emotionless sex. Let's just put it out there. We can have sex on just the physical level. But what about wanting sex on a different level, especially with that person you made a commitment to or the person you're married to? Don't you want more than just physical sex? And honestly, if you don't even believe that emotional or spiritual or mental sex is possible, then you really are missing out. And I say to those people, I hope that you can get to a point that you want to move from just good or great sex to amazing, mind-blowing sex on all four levels.
Thanks, Joey, for that. And if you have comments, call in and join us. What I want to move towards, what Patrice touched on next, is how do you make that decision to have sex or not to have sex as a single person, pretty much in relationships and marriages or committed relationships? It's kind of understood, unless you all have made the commitment to not be sexually active, that sex is a part of the relationship. But as a single person, how do you make the decision to have sex? What leads you towards that? And I want to talk about it on several fronts. Just from the single woman who goes out, what triggers in you, Deirdre, if you want to comment on that, what triggers in you if that person is the person you want, if that person is somebody you're going to have sex with that night? I mean, we've talked about casual sex, and I'll give some information that I have on that, but what says, yes, that's the person to have sex with? Or PJ, when you were single, what said, yes, that was the woman to have sex with? And then Patrice, I want you to kind of talk to or give us some information on how you feel about being the single woman who's been celibate, and how, when you came off the wagon, you and Joe, did you determine this was the person I was going to have sex with? So anybody jump in and give me what you think about making the decision to have sex.
All right, I'll start it off, I guess. For me, because religion was a huge deterrent to sex for me, there were several things that had to happen if I was going to engage with a woman. First of all, she had to be physically appealing. Secondly, if I was going to have sex with her, she had to be discreet. And I mean very discreet. She couldn't be the type of woman who had a bunch of girlfriends and they talked about everything. You know, that would put my business out in the street. Thirdly, she had to be somebody who I liked, or someone who caters to my ego, to my need to be a man. And those were my requirements.
So that's those were the things that help you make the decision whether or not you were going to have sex with that person.
Oh, yeah. It didn't matter how fine they were, how much even they wanted to have sex with me. If you weren't discreet, it wasn't going to happen.
Okay. Deirdre, what do you think of some decision makers? Deirdre? Okay, she's delayed. Patrice, you have some?
For your first question, how I decided on who I was going to have sex with, I've never had sex or made love with anybody that I didn't think I was in love with, so I don't even know what that feels like, you know, casual sex. I would like to know what it feels like now. No, I'm just, okay, I'm just kidding. I was just speaking on feeling.
Stupid.
But, I mean, I have played with the thought. I have honestly came very close to it. It may come close to it tomorrow, but I'm being honest with you. You know, I have always been in love with who I've given myself to. I've never been turned on physically by anyone that I wasn't in love with. Now it's different. Now it is different, and I think it. I don't know. Well, I do have an idea why. I do have an idea why, but I don't really want to bring that point up because there's too many ways to go. But I've never made love to anybody I wasn't in love with, so that's how I would choose. And they would also have to wait a long time. And I honestly know now that it was a stimulation of my mind. They had to honestly be able to stimulate my mind. They had to turn me on mentally first. I didn't know that then. Now I do. Now I know how to turn Patrice on. If someone asks me, how do I turn Patrice on, I could tell you by detail and give you a report, put it in the Excel report spreadsheet on how to do that. But that's only because I know my body and I know who I am now. But that is how I decide who I was going to have sex with.
Okay, okay. Deirdre, so what's the decision-making for single and having sex with a great sex drive?
It really depends on kind of what I was looking for. You know, if I just needed It really depends. It could be the physical, he needed to look a certain way, or it could be that his swag was just like all that. He was talking game, and it was just like, okay, prove it. Prove it. Let's see what you can do. Because as much trash you can talk, either you're going to back it up or I'm going to back it up, and I'm going to send you home. What's up? Don't talk about it. Be about it.
Okay. All right, we have a caller on the line. We have Ramon from Detroit, and if you'd like to join us and get your comments and questions in, we're at 760-683-2662. And, Ramon, we're happy to have you on Amongst Friends. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine. How are y'all doing this evening?
We're good. Your comment or question?
Well, my comment is, basically I understand the issue of women not wanting or wanting, having the desire to have sex as a single woman. I think the one thing that women, and we discussed this morning on my radio show here in Detroit, about how women today, they're more, I want to say the word discreet, but they have adopted the man complex, which is basically having sex like a man with no compassion, get it in, get it out, get it in, get off, and get out. The thing is, a lot of women today, even in the like early to mid-30s to late 40s, they're still more concerned about the more social in public persona or their social image to why they don't want to have sex with men on the first date or whatever. But they're usually the ones that initiate these friends with benefits or what I came up with, a sexual understanding or no strings attached. Women, if y'all want to get it in, you know what I mean? Go get y'all, you know, because we've been getting out from the beginning of the time. And my thing is, if you have sex with five men in 1 month, you ain't no hoe. You just going for yours. I ain't mad at you. That's just my opinion. But ladies, if y'all want to get in as a single woman, go on ahead. Cause a man, if you celibate or a virgin, a man gonna call you a hoe no matter what. It's all about what you respond to. Get yours, babe. Break that headboard. One love.
Thank you, Ramon. I enjoy Ramon's comments, and what he is saying is very true. And I And I agree with what he's saying, and I've never – what I believe about whether or not you can just do it emotionally is, you know, my own thing of how I feel. But I like what he had to say tonight. And I think for me, one of the things is that I found that I don't choose to just have haphazard sex because it's something that I enjoy. It's something that I can do. And personally, I found is that when there are things that I enjoy, that I'm capable of doing, and that I find that I'm good at, it can become excessive. And so for me, the boundaries are to ensure that there is relationship or emotional connection or some kind of something greater than just the physical heat, hot moment of just being aroused or horny or attracted to someone, because at the end of the day, I know that it can become a very personally addictive behavior, something that I would do unconsciously, because it's just something that I enjoy, and then I find that I'm good like that, Jeff. For your smart comment before you give it.
Ramon,
what'd you say,
Latrice? I'm not going to call you, what did he say, hoes anyway? What did he say?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't know they was calling us that. I mean...
Patrice, you live in a bubble. First of all, that's what we're going to say to you. You live in a bubble.
What he's saying is that
men who are disrespectful and who are going to say whore or hoe or bitch are going to say that anyway. And your behavior, good or bad, is not going to determine whether or not they say that.
Worrying about being called that by that type of guy is what I should not worry about.
Exactly. And I definitely agree with him. I will say that I am 100% behind it, and I know that a lot of people are not going to agree with me. So, again, all of the religious folks, nobody needs to call my pastor or my mother or any of my church members. I'm in good standing with all of them. If you make the decision as an adult, as PJ said, sex is for adults, if you make that decision to do that, that is your decision, and you should move forward with that. However, you need to just take hold with everything, the responsibilities and the consequences of making that decision, whatever they are, good, bad, or indifferent. So if you feel like he said, you want to do it with five different people in a month, then go for it. But there are consequences to that. If it's nothing more than you being tired and wore out and late for work, there's still consequences. And there are some responsibilities that you have to take in doing that.
I like when Ramon called in. Is he going to call back again?
I'm sure he's listening and he's heard your request and he will call back again. Ramon, if you're out there, please call back in for Patrice.
He's here.
Oh, he's still on the line? That's good. He's listening, so he hears your faintest crap, Patrice. All right, Joey, what are your determining factors?
I think for me, when I was younger, it was more so impulse, just that animalistic, you know, if I want to have sex and they're down for it, then let's go. But as I've gotten older, especially when I was practicing abstinence and celibacy, both women that I broke, broke that vow of celibacy with, I thought I could marry. I thought that they were, going to be my wife. And that's because they met all of the different standards of just, meeting my mental needs, like my need to be mentally stimulated and for them to be stimulated by me mentally, being able to hold a conversation and, I have a hot, they just treat me like a man and they appreciate me treating them like a woman. And that has always been, that was my deciding factor. Like, well, if I could marry you, then I could essentially, whether, you know, even though it's against my spiritual morals, I can give myself to you and I can give you everything that I got and make this, you know, a momentous occasion, that kind of thing. So it definitely, as I got older, it definitely had to feel like I could marry you before we could even engage in sexual activity. And the problem that I ran into, though, being a single man, is that it brings about this false sense of marriage. Like, I know it's not real marriage because I, you know, didn't stand before the priest or I didn't exchange vows or the justice of the peace or whatever, but it's just that falsehood of being in a relationship that essentially feels like marriage, but it's not that. And that's the issue that I've had being single, healthy sex drive, and having sex.
Okay, I'm with that. Now, I just got a text message, and so we're going to have to respond to this. And I am not the one. I'm going to say to you right now that I am not the one to respond to this. So someone who can help this person that just sent us in a message, the person wanted to know, how do you maintain your celibacy or the desire to not have sex if you make that decision because of your moral values or your own personal moral standards? You know, I totally disagree with people telling folks, oh, just read the word of God and God will keep you, and all, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is not going to tell your body to just simmer down. So for that person who needs that information, and they're waiting and in wait, can someone give them some information on how, or some best practices or some tools?
Stay away from pornography.
Yeah, some tools on what? Not having sex?
Yes, how do they deal with it?
Okay. I do want to say this, just to honestly be real. Just, you know, recently I had decided to have sex, okay? I was extremely frustrated with the whole waiting thing. I do want to keep sex for marriage. I've been honestly without, and it has nothing to do with my religion, but my spirituality, which is completely different from religion. My reasoning is really good, you know. So for the reasoning, I have been without for years, and I had recently decided, hey, I'm going to break this cycle and go ahead and pleasure that part of me, okay? Now, once I had decided to do it and was very well in agreement of doing it, it was the conversation between me and the gentleman was very enticing and it was very interesting. What happened was when the time was set and it was time to go in and do it, something within me was, I mean, honestly, and this was an individual thing, something within me honestly caused me to be like, you know, pull it back. And I'm like, why? I'm not pulling this back. I'm, you know, why should I pull this back? I have reasons on why to pull it back, but I had all that covered, right? You know, planned ahead. So what happened was I was talking to, I think, Heather on the phone, actually, and I said, oh, my God, I you know what his name is? And she's like, what? I said, I think I value myself. And not so much, that was for me. That's not for everybody else, but that was specifically for me. So if you are struggling with the idea of having it or doing whatever, I ask you to make a decision, because once you make the decision, your answer will come. The whatever you're looking for will come, but you have to do something in order to get a result. You have to make a decision. You will not learn, you will not grow, you will not strengthen if you don't do something or make a decision to do anything, to do whatever it is. So I say, you know, make a decision, and I bet you, even if it's the last minute, even if it's, you know, something that you don't even know what is in you, will reach out and tell you what you really want to do. So that's my advice.
Okay.
And I think one of the greatest lessons that I learned was not to deny that you have these sexual feelings. not to catastrophize them, not to make them shameful or evil, but to acknowledge that you do have these feelings. And then, like Patrice said, it really is making the decision. When you make the decision to be celibate or abstinent, and you don't make it outside, you don't just make it, oh, because I want to live for God, or I want to make my parents proud or whatever reason, but you just make the decision, hey, this is what I want to do. You will take the necessary steps. You will do what is necessary to keep, you know, to keep your celibacy or remain abstinent, and you won't feel guilty or ashamed about doing this. You won't feel like you're missing out or anything like that when you make the decision. But you have to make the decision to do it, and you have, and then you make the decision daily to remain that way until you get married or until whatever your decision is, you know, whether it's for you're going to wait till you get married or you're going to wait till you get into a committed relationship, whatever it is for you, you got to make the decision. And the other, you know, just best practices is to, you know, like I said, stay away from pornography, which is just really, really just dangerous territory, or playing house. Definitely playing with fire kind of thing. If you're serious about your celibacy, if you're not serious about it, then you're going to, you know, play house, whatever. But if you're serious about it, don't play around with fire. You know, I'm like Heather, you know, keep Jesus, keep me near the cross, or singing hymns and things like that. Maybe it'll work for some, but it does not work for me, especially in those moments. Neither does cold showers. That just makes me, that just makes it worse. So it's just one of those things. For me, it's just I found it easier when I'm not in a committed relationship. It is easier for me not to it's easier for me to remain celibate. But when I become in a committed relationship, that's where the challenge comes. And I have to be I have to make the decision. I don't have to be cautious. I don't have to be mindful. I have to make the decision not to play with fire.
Right, and I think that those are all good things. You know, for someone like me, I think that, you know, having sex, engaging in sexual activity is definitely a personal choice. It is one that we all have the liberty of making, and I would just admonish you to be responsible in making that choice, to be aware and open-minded about making that choice, and if you must, by all means, make sure the sex is good.
Yes,
next
please.
Next week on Amongst Friends, as our time is winding up, you still have a few minutes to call us in, and you can do that at 760-683-2662 as we're wrapping up tonight's topic of I have a healthy sex drive, but I'm single. Next week we're going to be talking about delayed but not denied. So what are those things that you're concerned with that seemingly you think are far off for you, but they are not denied for you? They're just perhaps delayed, and we'll be talking about how to bring to pass things in your career, marriage, successes in life, changes, things of that nature that you want to see happen in your life. I don't think we're getting ready to go churchy on next week and talk about God.
Yeah, because I felt like we were.
And it's not going to be that show. It's not going to be faith talk, and we will not be telling you to turn around, and your blessings going to meet you on the sixth turnaround. That's not what it is. It's talking about.
Oh, okay. Thank you for clearing that up for me.
Yeah, it's really talking about moving in the direction to attain those things that you feel like are far off for you. And so what can you do differently? And so for the person who wants that advancement in the workplace, you know, look at appearance, look at your timeliness, look at your priorities and how you organize your tasks, look at how you interact socially within the office, and is the promotion attainable if you make some corrections and some tweaks, and how we can do that overall in parenting and our relationships one-on-one, not just romantic but platonic within our family. So we'll be looking at that from a lot of different angles on next week, so it won't be, praise the Lord, and I'm going to pray for my blessing, and we all going to fast for 30 days. That's
you
not
gonna
gonna
get it in 2010.
You gonna get it in 2010, and I won't be letting the devil mess it in 2011. Yes, we're not gonna have any of those. We're not gonna have none of them church themes and no mantras and none of that foolishness.
I'm glad you
It won't be that. But tonight, you know what? I think tonight's show was really good, and I appreciate the callers. For those of you who have called in, we appreciate you all listening. And I think as we move forward, as we're talking about this topic, this was a good show for me because I think, you know, someone like me who, growing up as the preacher's daughter and now as an adult, where I have several siblings, and what you all may not know, some I think Patrice knows, but all of my siblings, older and younger than me, are preachers except for me. And so I've always kind of been looked at as the one on the outside or the one that's a little bit more, more or less not so much as, you know, I guess what people would say, oh, you're not as saved as the other ones or that type of thing. But I've always been open to the things that can, and I'm not nasty to whoever that is in the chat room talking about nasty. You know, I've been open to other things, and I think that sex is a beautiful thing. I think that it is something that can be enjoyed however you choose to do it within the confines of marriage. It can also be enjoyed outside of marriage. The benefits of sex outside of marriage and within marriage are very different. The responsibilities are different, and the consequences are very different. And so those are the things that I think that we should definitely begin to look at as a single person, which I am today, with what I believe is a very healthy sex drive, that is a positive sex drive, that is not driven by the fact that whether or not I had a father in the home or whether or not I was shown love, whether or not I'm overweight or underweight, cute or ugly, whether or not I'm smart or not, poor or rich, just a good, healthy sex drive. I think that, you know, it's good to have sex. I think sex is a good thing, and I think that more people would be happy if they had more sex. So how you make the decision to do that, what the responsibilities and the consequences are, and whether or not your sex drive is healthy are things that I hope we've helped you, if not learn on tonight, but to just prick your brain to begin to think and to consider for the next time you decide to have sex. And whoever that is in the chat room, my pastor does not lay on hands. He believes that there's a transference of the spirit in the spiritual realm, so he doesn't have to touch you for you to get delivered tonight, whoever that is. Do we have any final thoughts from the rest of you guys tonight on being single with a healthy sex drive?
Double check with them. You never know. You never know.
My pastor does that, no. Anybody else have final thoughts, comments tonight?
No, my only thing I want to say is that don't believe the myth that if you don't use it, you lose it.
Now, I do not, Joey, hold on. I think you do lose something. Because if you're doing the positions as a woman and you throwing that leg up and back and over, if you haven't done that in some time, you are going to lose it. So even if you're not using it for sex, ladies, lay on the floor, get on your back, and throw them legs up and spread them to make sure you still got that flexibility, the agility, the athleticism that it takes for strong performance in the bedroom.
Pilates really helps. And stretching every night before bed keeps you very limber.
But y'all are a mess. I was talking about your healthy sex drive.
We have people in the chat room saying you need to do yoga, Pilates, pop that thing. I mean, one of the things for me, and I'll say this openly, that I think I'm not a small girl by any stretch of the imagination, but I think that the agility and flexibility that comes with my sexual life that I don't have a problem talking about is that I remain active in life, meaning walking. I enjoy dancing.
And I do that, and like to do that very well. Swimming, as someone has suggested, because you're a little bit, you know, weightless in that context. But doing things, remaining active in life where you're still utilizing those muscles and your limbs will make for a much better sex life. And also being open to trying new things. I think that that always gives you some room, some flexibility that, you know, maybe you've never turned on your side and put one leg behind you and one leg in front of you. Try something new. It helps.
Yeah, try something new.
Try something new. And if you want to share tonight's show with a friend or someone who was not able to join us, you can always catch our shows, tonight's show or past shows, on www.blogtalkradio.com/amongstfriends, where we keep all of our shows, our archives, along with the after-the-show conversation that is always most interesting, and we hope that you'll join us. This time next week, as I stated, we will be right back here at 8 p.m. for Amongst Friends. It will be the absolute best 90 minutes you spend of your week, and we hope that you will join us for Amongst Friends Blog Talk Radio, where we'll be discussing delayed but not denied. What are those things you're looking for? And we hope that you'll join us. I'd like to thank the beautiful ladies and gentlemen who have assisted us in hosting tonight's show, Patrice Reynolds, Joe Snyder, Deirdre Robinson, and PJ Morgan. And please join our Facebook group, Amongst Friends Radio Talk Show. You can find us on Facebook. We'd love to have you with us in our chat room. And so, guys, I'm loving this conversation in the chat room. Why does everybody keep saying check with your pastor? Who pastor are they talking about?
I think they're talking about everybody's chat.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We have a lot of a breed of young pastors that have come up. I mean, I think that's what they're referring to.
Okay, because we're going to have my pastor on here one week. I don't know what we're going to be talking about, but I'd love to have him here.
That would be cool.
Would you all believe our listeners that someone says she isn't having regular sex? Is she the best time of your week is not going to be having sex. It is going to be the 90 minutes from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. every Wednesday night with Amongst Friends. It will be the best 90 minutes of your week, because I know that you're not having 90 minutes of sex, as we learned a few weeks ago. Joe, you told me that a man's orgasm had to come around 17 minutes.
One is not 17. I said on average, a man's orgasm will be at 7 minutes and a woman at 20. But that's on average. You ain't messing with average over here. I'm just saying.
Oh, my.
Joe, let me tell you, you're not
the only one in that boat, Joey.
Sweet.
Joey said,
hey, and I'm happy for them. I am happy because I would get disappointed, brother, if I could only last for 7 minutes. I would have to go sit in the corner in a straitjacket and be sad because that's just not a good look. That's just not a good look.
Joey said that can't anybody just get him. They got to be.
Wow.
He says they have to be well selected. He ain't giving away himself to anybody.
No, and that's so true, though. That is so true.
Well, I think so. I mean, I agree with you. I think you do have to be particular. Like, I kind of, and this is just my own little personal secret since we're going off the end, it'll be after the show talk anyway. I kind of need to look at the person, and I'm not trying to, you know, like, be all mystical or crazy, but I kind of want to look at the person and determine, is this a good match? Like, are they really good? Now, I am like Deirdre. If somebody talks trash, I can't stand a trash talker, because I just honestly believe that anybody who does that much talking, it does edge you on. It does attract you because you want to, you know, be like, oh, let me see if you really can, if you're saying you're doing that. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, we have 2 minutes left on the air, and if you decided to call in, you have exactly 1 minute to do that. Join us next week for Amongst Friends. We appreciate you listening. We hope you've had as much fun as we have had tonight. Next week, it will be 90 minutes of Amongst Friends on Delayed But Not Denied. Join us, www.blogtalkradio.com/amongstfriends. Or you can call in and listen with us and share your comments, thoughts, questions at 760 683
2662. Again, we will be with you every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. promptly. And we thank you for sharing with us tonight.
Don't forget to go to the blog. Joey has a blog, the J Spot, on blog. What is it? Blog.
Blogspot. Blog. Not Blogspot. Yeah. Whatever. What is it? I don't know.
And the Heather Project. They are. What is it? Blog.com.
No.
Yeah.
Blogspot.com.
Oh, Blogspot.com. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so please join us.